Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
As we turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we'll start our new series called Unite. It's really about the power of reconciliation and really our responsibility in reconciliation, which you'll see in the scripture right now. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world that is causing us to, you know, feel a bit of a tremble. The stuff with ISIS, the unrest in Paris, the unrest in our own nation, the dissatisfaction that we have with the way things are going. It seems that there's some prevalent things that are currently separating us in a way that we wouldn't desire to be separated from one another. And that God is about unity, and the spirit of division is here. The spirit of divorce is here. So therefore, if you've been contemplating a divorce or you've been confused in your marriage, I want you to make sure that you attend the No Ordinary Love conference this weekend. Now, if you're wondering if it's for you, it's for you. If you don't think she cooks enough, cleans enough, you don't like her work hours and all that stuff, you got them complaints you've been throwing on her, it's for you. If you just tired of him always being available for the wrong thing and not the right thing, it's for you. See, you got to catch that. Then there's kids in the room. Okay, so, yeah, see, come on, help me out. We got children, and just come. You're having challenges, come. Russ and Debbie Austin can fix us. All of us need that marriage tune-up. So whether it's your own marriage that may seem to be in turbulence or the world that seems to be in turbulence, it all can be solved in Christ. And you cannot talk about unity and reconciliation with other peoples and other things until we settle the issue that we must first be reconciled with Jesus Christ. And maybe you have thought over the years that you're standing in the right place with Christ, but there's an indicator that you are when you are. And it is found in that 2 Corinthians 5:17. The indicator is that the same things he does, you do. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old have gone away, and all things become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 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 God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. When you're in Christ, when you're united with Christ, the old things go away. Old ways of thinking, old ways of living, things that trip you up, things that trap you, things that stimulate you that shouldn't stimulate you. All those old things go away and you get a new life. Your dead spirit gets revived and connected to God's spirit. You get a promise of a regenerated body, and God begins to renew our minds. It's what we're here to do. And we can become new. Hallelujah. And all this is from God, who was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In the same way God was there in Christ reconciling us, he's here in us, giving us the word of reconciliation to be ambassadors and representatives of him in the world. So we don't get caught up in how bad the world is. The world, in fact, is doing what it should do, sinning. That's what sinners do, sin. We need to stop getting offended. My son was watching the news, and Sammy said, well, I don't know why we even have the news. It's just depressing. It's all the bad stuff. He said, Daddy, why do you let me watch the news? It's bad. But when I look at what's going on in the world, I don't get offended about what sinners are doing. I get more resolute about what I'm supposed to do to help the sinner stop sinning through the ministry of reconciliation. Here it is, folks. I'm going to try to show you in John 8 in a moment, through 11 verses, that if we're going to see unity with Christ and do what he's done, or be the beneficiaries of Christ and get saved, we're going to have to know how he feels when he's doing it. Know his will and then how he deals. I'm going to express that to you today. Now, when I look at the world, I see that we somehow do our job of being ambassadors and we start out good, but then something goes wrong. In the school system, you know that the first arithmetic books and the first class books were based on the Ten Commandments and the Bible. That's the foundation all the way up through universities. But now, when we look at our education system, it's almost as if we've given it away to secular humanism. And the mindset of Christ, which originally birthed it, is gone. So it appeared that it was united with him at one point, but there was a departure. When we look at, you know, what's going on, marriage at some point by God was established between one man, Adam, one woman, woman, Eve. And those two will no longer be two but one. And that was God's his idea of marriage. So it doesn't matter what anyone else feels like, even me. God has defined what it is, and then we have no right to change the definition. When we say we're united with Christ, we can't change the definition of things. Stick to his program. But we see this trend throughout history where we start out good and we depart because we don't stay united with Christ. It's like his hook is not in deep enough. And I love how Paul said it. He says, when I will to do good, evil is always present. And the thing I don't want to do is the very thing I find myself doing. The things that I should do, I don't get around to doing them. And I don't know what's wrong with me, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this pattern, from this body of death? I thank God for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. And then he goes on. There's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in or united with Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but by the Spirit. Okay, so you've got to get this point. Being united with Christ brings you benefits. My son Jason came to me some years ago. Maybe he was 5 or 6 years old. It was nighttime, and he had told me he no longer wanted to live in my house. I didn't even get, any nothing. I didn't do anything. I said, son, what's wrong? Why don't you want to live here? He said, you got to get me out of this place. I said, what's going on? He said, I don't like that, we give spankings here. And I said, but son, I haven't spanked you. I haven't threatened to spank you. I've done it. I said, did your mama do something you need to tell me about? You want to tell on your mama? I mean, what's going on? He said, no. He said, he said, nobody has spanked me. No, nobody's threatened to spank me. He said, I just don't like the knowledge that a spanking could exist. And I said, but you got to explain this, son. He said, now you know that I'm going to do something wrong and I'm not going to change it. So I'm guaranteed to get a spanking. So you know I'm set up to fail. I want out of this house. You see, we all want Christ because what he's offering is absolutely amazing. But it's something that happens when we recognize that God did not do away with your flesh. He just gave you the power to deal with your flesh. And there's a war going on the inside of us right now. And God saw fit to send Christ to win for us. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. So let me tell you how you deal with your sin issue. It's impossible to be disciplined enough. It's impossible to be a greater rule keeper. It's impossible for you to do all of these things so that you can get credit for getting it right. You need Christ. In this room, or in the world, statistics will say 70 or 80% of us are just willing to follow what's going on. 16 to 20% of us are our leaders. We can influence everything like that. And 6 to 10% of us are just deviants. Gonna do the wrong thing, just full of the devil. You ain't gonna change them. They're like trying to change the serial killer. You're not gonna change them. They did something wrong. Some people just decided, I'm evil. Okay? And God has saw fit to make his solution to the world's pollution your unity with Christ as an ambassador. Mine. There is hope for this world, and the hope of the world is Christ in you. Hallelujah. See, oh my Jesus. See, if I was in where I came from right now, I'd be, just come out of myself. But I'm here. Listen, go to John 8, verse 1. I'm going to show you how he feels about what? You and I and people, his assignment, everything. I'm going to show you how he wills. In other words, there's something that men want him to do, but he's not going to do what men want him to do. He's going to do what he was purposed to do. And finally, I'm going to show you how he deals. When he finally steps up and says, okay, here's how it is, it settles everything. It's how he deals. Verse 1 in John chapter 8, I'm going to read. It's how he feels. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all of the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman in caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone this woman. Now what do you say?" Or what do you feel? So here is Jesus doing what he always does, teaching. The Bible says he's teaching everybody. He's teaching the young, the old, the women, the men. He's teaching the Jews, the Gentiles. He's teaching. He's doing what he does. Somebody drags in someone caught in the very act of adultery and says, "What you going to do about this, Jesus? How you feel about it, Jesus?" Teaching to us, we got a real live case in front of you, brother. Now, we know what the rules are for sinners. You pick up a stone according to Moses. You do follow Moses, don't you, Jesus? So now we about to stone her, but we want to know how you feel first. You see, I'm going to help you understand how Jesus feels. He's still comfortable around sinners. But you will never be able to bait him into sin. Jesus is comfortable around the arrogant. Jesus is comfortable around the affluent. He is comfortable around the unlearned. He is comfortable around the sinner, and he doesn't feel obligated to participate in their sin. He feels just fine. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured the contradiction of sinners. He endured. Jesus is all right. He's calm. He's full of joy, full of life. He's feeling good, even though you interrupted his church service and you threw a woman in front of him and said, "She's been dead in adultery." See, he feels okay. You can begin to see this woman is about to have found out that she's ended up in the right place. Today, I want us to all look at this story and figure out how we can act like Jesus. But maybe you're about to find out whether or not you're this woman who's been dragged in by people who say they're religious, but they're insensitive. Because if you think somebody broken and messed up, don't go and embarrass them. Well, you know, this is, you know, he enlisted in their sins. You don't want nobody to do it to you. Point two, what is his will in the midst of what he feels and he's obligated to do and handle? Verse 6, they were using this question to trap him in order to have a bias for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. You see, man's will is being exposed. The point of the question was to trap him. I want to know how you feel about sin. No, I want to know how you feel about this particular sin. In our day, in our culture, Christians are being baited on TV and in workplaces. How you feel about this sin? How you feel about it? Let me help you understand something. You know this. When you sin and other people sin, you know something I figured out. You know it. And sometimes the only thing a smart-aleck Christian can do is give them an excuse to stay locked up in the sin that God has already convicted them about. But we could be like Jesus and don't follow the way of the culture that's interrogating you. But just hold on. You don't exercise your will to me. I'm Jesus. I'm writing in the sand right now. I ain't thinking about you. Interrupted my meeting. You ain't apologized. Want to know how I feel about sin? You don't want me to speak. Because if I speak, my judgment is true. You don't want me to speak. Let me just hold my peace. Start understanding the power you have, beloved. You're not ordinary. When you speak something, God backs up your words. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. Wait a minute. You can pull somebody out of the gates. If you got the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation, when you show up with the right words from God spoken at the right time, you snatch somebody out of hell's fire. Don't be baited into making someone that's doing what they do when they don't have unity with Christ is sin. I want every sinner in this city to be comfortable in this setting. Comfortable here. Bring every one of your unsaved friends so they can be loved on and discipled. Because all of us had to walk through the same way to the same altar to figure out that our heart was dark and black with sin. But these people don't get it yet. So Jesus stays silent on his will. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up. That's what you don't want to happen to you. You don't ever want Jesus to straighten up on you. That's a sign. That's going left. He straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. In front of me, the righteous one, the judge, the merciful. Let them go and show up with your stone and throw it. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Because if you ask me my will, if you start divorcing yourself from what you want and I get into what I'm wanting to say, because see, they knew that if Jesus said she was guilty, he would have lost the poor. He would have lost all those he was winning with. If he'd have pronounced her guilty and he participated in what might have been the right punishment, then they would have discredited his ministry because she would have been done without a trial. You see, when you're not wise, when you live in the culture, you make unnecessary mistakes that otherwise, if you'd have held your peace and only dispensed the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is not saying, yeah, bring that little adulteress in front of me so I can talk to her. Who told you that you should use the language of accusation? You don't know people that well. You don't have this superior gift of discernment. And Jesus, full of the Spirit, without measure, is not running her down. You using all your spiritual gifts to run people down. Let me tell you, the Lord showed me all of your stuff. See, that, you know, I question your gift. That's just, you know, because that ain't how Jesus worked. Mm-hmm. I saw some stuff in the dark, in the dark, in the dark, in the dark covers. I saw, you know, just you being over spiritual. Y'all, I ain't got more time for that point. How Jesus deals. Verse 9. At this, those who heard what? Him say, if you don't have any sin, you throw a rock. If you can deal with the same rules that you're holding her by, then you pick up your rock and knock her in the head. But if you have failed to keep the law at any point, if you have recognized that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you have recognized that if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us, and we make him out to be a liar, we need him. If you recognize that you think you was keeping the rules better than everybody else, you're lying, you're spared over here today. You know that's against the law. So you know what? We all got something, though. They're a liar. No, you're a little white liar. They're a big liar. We all got something we're asking God to purge us from, and let's thank God for the unity that's in Christ. It's in Christ that I'm healed. It's in Christ that I'm saved. It's in Christ that I'm set free. There's no other solution. I have no power in it of myself. They start dropping them rocks. They ain't got no rock to throw at you. You know, she drank. Well, you know what? You got some other problems. It's just more contained and secretive. We just see her stuff. And you know they was full of the devil anyway. They caught the woman in the very act of adultery. Where was the man at? We caught her in the very act. Well, why you didn't drag him in too? Take two to tangle. No ordinary love is calling you right now. No ordinary love. Get to the conference. Get to the conference. Ain't got time for the messing with y'all today. The oldest first until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Still, Jesus straightened up. Now, this is a good straighten up. And asked her, woman, where are they? Have no one condemned you? She said, no one, sir. She said, then neither do I condemn you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Jesus declared, go now and live and leave your life of sin. See, that's how he deals. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God came to give you grace and life. He didn't come into the world to condemn it, but that through him that the world might be saved. God is not trying to break you down to your least common denial. He's not trying to get every little. He knows that no man can keep the law, but the law was good. He's the fulfillment of the law, and it extends to you the grace and the goodness on his life. I don't condemn you. But you know what? This could not be seen until they dropped the rocks. And everyone that couldn't handle Jesus' message about introspection, an inspection, they left. And now it's just her and Jesus. See, when the spirit of accusation is gone, you know what happens? People can see Jesus. He ain't into that lifestyle. No. You should be in the lifestyle of communicating what the ambassador of Christ says. Then let God's process and standards change them without changing any of the rules for somebody. But he's not asking you to do his work. You're just an ambassador. You don't even get to say your own words. You're only saying his words. It's funny to me. The Bible says, who are you that judge another man's servant? For with the judgment you judge, you do the same thing. And you condemn yourself. He says, or do you despise the forbearance of God? Understand it, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repent. God treats you good when you're bad. God treats you good when you're bad. And he tells her a final thing that I'm telling you. He says, go and sin no more. It's amazing to me that God can announce to somebody that you can actually leave my presence and not be a sinner. Oh my goodness, the devil's telling you an opposite message. You know, everybody's a little shady, baby. Everybody's going down, you know. It's just, you know, it's just have a little shade. Don't have a lot of shade. That's all I want to tell you right now. No. Come on out. When you see Jesus, you can come out and you don't have to be ashamed. You can be feeling good about it. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God. You know, it's not a work so any man can boast about it. Stand to your feet. Today, in this call to discipleship, is your day. Some of you listen to the story and you say to yourself, I'm the woman. I've been caught in sin. And people were being rough with me. But when Jesus just got face to face with me, I was able to converse. Some of you need to know that in this moment, ministry team, I want you to come down. Ministry team, I want you to go come down in the upper venue. Some of you just need to know right now, this is your moment. Some of you have heard that now that you know how Christ feels and how he wills and how he deals, that you got to be a different kind of ambassador. 30 seconds. If you know that Jesus identified you today in the upper venue and right here, our church is only about you getting saved. She's going to sing this song. 30 seconds to a minute. And if you feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost, you run out of your seat to Christ because he doesn't have a rock to throw at you. Come to the arms of Jesus. If that's you and you need Jesus for the first time, or come back to him. Come on up.